Never feel that you are just a face in the crowd. Just because your circumstances has failed, just because you experience a setback in some area, your worth is not tied to your occupation or to what you do. Your worth must be set on something unmovable, and that's what God says about you. You don't do to become. You are. Now you do what you are. We already are what we are by grace. Now God is saying, walk it out. Instead of, oh no, I try to suppress this feeling. I try to avoid this feeling. You have lost before you began. Because you're acting based on a lie. You feel it doesn't mean it's truth. God paid with the blood of His Son to redeem you.
About 4 years ago, I was just flipping through the channels and just came across a guy in a leather jacket preaching some truth, and stopped and watched for a while, and it literally blew my mind.
Because he preaches the truth, he tells us about grace, and he just makes you know that Jesus is here for you and His grace is all you need.
And just keeps you constantly wanting to grow more, hunger for more and go for more, but yet it's so simple and so amazing, it just blows my mind.
My husband was an alcoholic for 18 years, got sober about 7 years ago, and because of the grace message, no more condemnation, has really set him free.
I said, this is really good news. I said, this is the good news that I've been waiting for all my life to hear.
What you have just watched is a glimpse of the many lives that have been touched by the gospel of grace. This is what Gospel Partner is all about, sending the good news of Jesus Christ into the world to reach the last, the lost, and the least. Wherever the gospel goes, it brings victory, deliverance, breakthroughs, and miracles. If you'd like to partner with us and redeem your 1 month free subscription to access more than 1,000 sermons, visit gospelpartner.com. Praise God. I want to say amen to all the prayers prayed over all the mothers. Amen. And how many are planning, just by a show of hands, I just feel like asking this. How many, you're married, of course, but you're planning to be a mother anytime soon? You have not conceive yet, but you are planning to be a mother. Let me see your hands. Just wave. All right. Praise the Lord. Okay. Yep. All right. How many of you, don't have to raise your hands for this one, but you've been wanting to be a mother for now more than 2 years to 3 years, and you've not had any manifestation yet, but you are believing God for it. Amen. I want to tell you this. God specifically spoke to me in my time in preparation and said that it's going to be your year of miracle. Just like the year of rest and acceleration is going to happen. Now, I don't always give this kind of words. Like, as you know, like I don't say this in every other service and all that. And it's been some time since I say that. But every time I say it, it's like that particular year is going to be like a baby boom. Amen. I don't mean it's going to be like coming up, boom. I'm going to say that you are in for a beautiful, bouncy baby. Woo! Amen. A booming, bouncy baby. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. God is good. God is good. And, you know, the heart of a father is when God speaks to Abraham, God speaks generationally. Always, have you noticed that when God makes promises, He makes promises generationally. He always say that in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And I'll bless your seed and your seed's seed. Amen. And the Lord always says in every blessing, even in the Psalms, it says that may you live to see your children's children. Amen. Amen. It's not just long life for the sake of long life. Like in Psalms 91, it says, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. The first reason for long life is to see Jesus. Just like Simeon the prophet, The Lord said to him that he will not die until he sees Jesus. So that's why when Joseph and Mary dedicated Jesus to the temple, old Simeon came. And then he held the baby in his arms. And what he tell the Lord? Lord, let now your servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. In Hebrew, he would have said, my eyes have seen your Yeshua, your Jesus. Amen? So I believe just like Simeon, in the first coming of Jesus, in the second coming of Jesus, there'll be a generation of Simeons. Amen? They are advanced in years, and yet they are not dead yet. Why? Because they take into heart that promise in Thessalonians. Amen? You will not see death until you see Jesus. And that saying Jesus there is physical. Amen? To see Jesus face to face. You see, as believers, we are not looking for the grave. We're looking to the sky for the Lord to appear. And then our bodies will be transformed like His glorious body. Amen? We're not looking for the undertaker. We are looking for the upper taker. Amen? So, it's not scriptural to be looking towards death. The Bible says you are to look to the skies, to look to Jesus, your redemption. And that redemption there is bodily redemption. Your redemption draws near. Amen. And all the people said, amen. Amen. Praise God. Smile at your neighbor and say, you are in for an exciting time, especially you. And look at another person and say that, I don't know what's your trouble, but your troubles will melt like wax in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. We are continuing our teaching on the heart. How many are blessed last week by the word of the heart? And we were trying to locate the heart because everyone is after your heart. Everyone, right? The world out there, the social media, they are bombarding you every day. The advertisers and marketing, they're all appealing where? To your heart. And many a times, even when they are promoting, things like medicine or certain kind of products, you don't find them talking so much about the specifics or the detailed explanation of what this product or the ingredients of the product. What they do is that they give you a story, a short story, and then they tell you how this person, they show you the guy holding the pain at first. Oh, his hand, it's very painful, right? Then later on, you take this product, he's smiling. Amen? The before picture is always very grumpy one. All right? The after picture is always smiling. Amen? This lady, before she used this shampoo, look at her hair. Oh, I don't know, kind of thing. Now she's smiling. Amen? Right? It's always like that. So no mention about the ingredients of the shampoo. What are they doing? They're after your heart. They're after your heart. They know that your head is not interested in the facts so much as your heart. It appeals to your heart. At the end, many of us, we still look at the facts because we are mature and advanced enough, you know, in our life, older ones especially, to want to look at the facts. But now, in the world that we live in, sometimes facts are confounded. We do not know what is really facts. That's why the term fake news has been very current recently, right? Especially this last, only happened like this last decade, it came to the prominence. Why? Because you have to decipher through the facts. But there's one thing, my friend, that you can be sure of. The Word of God. Amen. This book here, listen carefully, outlasts truth. It has truth. It outlasts facts. So when the doctor says that, yes, the X-ray, the MRI and all that shows that you have this condition, we're not saying that's not a fact. It is a fact. But a fact, listen, may not be permanent. Most of the time, they are not. But God's truth outlasts the fact. God's truth is forever. Can I have a good amen? And once Jesus died on that cross for all your sins, everything that is between you and God, and especially the barrier of sin, because sin is what separates man from God, has been removed. That is the truth. Amen. So therefore, the facts in your body, the facts that say that, hey, you still have sin, right? You still have sin in your mind, in your body, predominantly, that's where it manifests. You still have that anger, And you still have that bitterness. But here is where a lot of scholars may differ from what I believe is the Word of God's teaching, because they will teach like, you still have your sinful nature. And the NIV especially talks about the flesh. Where it says the flesh, it says sinful nature. Amen? Now, how many of you know that a lot of your problems today, even when you sit down there, is because of your flesh? Now, is the flesh the sinful nature? No. Once upon a time, you had the sinful nature. But once you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you believe that Christ died on the cross for your sins, amen, and the divine exchange took place, God made Jesus who knew no sin, He did no sin, in Him is no sin. At the cross, God made Jesus to be sin with your sins. He bore your sins so that you can become the righteousness of God in Him. Jesus did not commit sin to become sin at the cross. He carried your sins, right? You don't commit righteousness to become righteous. Amen. We're not saved by our works. Amen. We receive His righteousness, and therefore we are now the righteousness of God in Christ. Can I have a good amen? Are we or are we not? So here's where the battle takes place. There is a branch of Christianity that teaches we still have the sinful nature. Okay? Now, I teach that we still have the flesh. What is the flesh? The flesh is the carryover and the residue of the sinful nature. But they're not the same. That's why I don't agree with the NIV, which is a great translation, by the way. The Bible, the original word, listen, there are many translations, right? Depending on what Bible you want to use, I suggest you use a few. Amen, when you study the word. But the original is inspired. Translators, all right, may differ in the way they translate one verse, but listen carefully, the original, and I'll endeavor to always show you the original. Okay? The original says sarx, which is flesh. The word flesh there, the NIV put sinful nature. So today, it tells you, put to death your sinful nature. The idea is that you still have your sinful nature. But the Bible says that if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. I say, you are a new creature. Now turn to your neighbor right now and say, what a creature. You are a new creature. That's the old King James and the new King James for creation, new creation. That's a nice name for a church. New creation. Amen. If anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. I'm so glad we chose that name. New creation church. Amen. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away, all things have become new. So the Bible says, if all things have become new, where has it become new? In your spirit man. Amen. One day when we see Jesus face to face, we'll have a new body. A body that will never grow old, never die. Forever young, forever healthy, forever strong. Forever is a very long time, my friend. Make sure you are saved. Amen. Don't leave this to chance. Hallelujah. And it's not hard to be saved. Jesus did all the tough part. Amen. He suffered for us at the cross. Our part is to believe. Amen. When you believe, because why believe is important? Because the mother of all sin, the root of all sin, and all happened back in the garden is man's heart of unbelief. That's the root of every sin. Amen. It is not pornography. It's not lying. It's not murder. Long before all this manifests, and these are sins, right? These are the works of the flesh. Long before all this manifests, it is a heart of unbelief. When a person's heart is not believing God, that's when it gives rise to all these manifestations of the flesh. These are just manifestations. Are you listening, people? But once you're a believer, you are no more the old creation. You are a brand new creation. But you have the flesh. The flesh is like the lifestyle that you still have, the bad habits and the proclivities and the, you know, the sensations even of the old sinful nature that does not exist anymore. But it feels so real. Amen. And your failures tell you, look, you are still the old sinful nature. Nothing has changed. Nothing could be further from the truth. God's truth tells you, these are just facts, right? And those facts is that you sin. When you sin, we're not saying you didn't sin. All right, you lost your temper. You're angry with someone on the road. Amen, that's sin. Amen. And none of us committed it. I can see. You all look so sanctimonious. You all sit down there. You all look so holy. Speak Pastor Mark down here. Amen. You look so holy. But all of us every day, if we are true to ourselves, amen, if we are honest, we will just say that we all have this propensity, we still have this proclivity towards sin. This side of heaven, until we receive our new body. And what does that tell us? In heaven, once we see Jesus in the rapture, our bodies are transformed like His body, forever strong, forever healthy, forever. It's a forever body. And it's still a body of flesh and matter. Amen. Flesh and bones. Just there's forever flesh and forever bones. It's called glorified body. And all of a sudden, when you receive the body, you don't have any more sinful tendencies. So what does that tell you? That tells you the sin is in the sarx, in the flesh, not in your, let me say, your body is not dirty. God says your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. If I want to go one step further, the Greek there actually refers to the, which part of the temple? There's three parts of the temple. There's the outer court, there's the holy place, and there's the Holy of Holies. Do you know that when the Bible says your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, it actually refers to your Holy of Holies, the Holy of Holies of the temple, the place where God dwells? No, it did not say your spirit man is the Holy of Holies. It says your body is the Holy of Holies. Wow. Don't you know your body has been bought by Jesus' blood? Amen? You see, the value of a thing is how much you are willing to give up for that thing. You know, if you buy your house, for example, you bought it for, let's just give a ballpark figure, okay? Let's say you bought it for 100,000. Amen? Previously, you bought it for 100,000. Now you want to sell it. Okay, it all depends on what people are willing to pay out there. Nowadays, you hear stories of people looking at houses that cost 100,000, for example, and they are willing to pay 200,000. What does it tell you? The value of a thing is how much a person is willing to pay for it. It's not even what is the value in the market. Actually, the real value is the person willing to pay for it. If the person is willing to pay for it, that's how he values that property. Are you listening? You, when you were lost, hopeless, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, dead in your sins, God paid with the blood of His Son to redeem you. Your value is shown there. Never feel that you are just a face in a crowd. Just because your circumstances has failed, just because you experience a setback in some area, is no reason to take your life. It's no reason to go down the doldrums of depression and say that I'm useless, I'm worth nothing. Your worth is not cut, it's not tight. Listen, my friend, it's not tied to your occupation or to what you do. Your worth must be set on something unmovable. Jobs are movable. Amen. Qualifications are movable. Amen. You cannot base on things that are movable, but unshakable, eternal. And that's what God says about you. And no one sees reality like God. So are you listening, people? So we have this problem, right? They say that you are a new creation, but you're not a new creation. Are you right? Am I righteous or not? Yes, the Bible says you are righteous in Christ, but, amen, it is a position. Okay, what talk you now? It's a position, okay? What you are is that you are still sinning, okay? But your position before God is that you are righteous. But you know something? That's just a position. What you need to do, what you ought to do, you must give, you must obey, you must forgive, you must, and all these things are good. Don't misunderstand. But what is evil and what is subtle in this teaching that has produced, instead of the true holiness and the victorious lifestyle that we believers are believing for, amen, as a result, we see failure after failure after failure. Why? It's based on a false premise. Listen, you don't do to become. You already have become so that you can do. It's something called, which one comes first? The command, all right, or the become, what who you are, what you do, and what you is. You don't do to become. You are. Now you do what you are. Amen. Are you listening? When Queen Elizabeth was growing up, she used to be very playful. Amen. And now she's facing a silver jubilee? I know it's some sort of jubilee, okay? And an amazing lady, right? Thank God for her. We pray for her to live longer. Amen. And when she was younger, she used to be very playful until someone sat her down, looked at her in the eye and said, you know, respectfully, the princess at the time, right? You are to be the queen. You are the princess of the royal family of Britain. That at the time has the boast that the sun never sets on the empire. Amen. And you will rule Britannica. Amen. You are a princess and you are a queen. Amen. All of a sudden, she changed her mentality. All right. Now, when she changed, did she become a princess? Or she's already a princess? The mind change is just to realize who you already are. But the bombarding of the teaching is always try harder to be. The idea of try harder mentality or the try harder Christianity is not based on the New Testament teaching. Try harder is to imply you're not there. So every temptation that comes is the devil giving you a lie. You see, you have bitterness in the heart. You can feel it. It's a fact. You can feel it. I'm not saying that you don't feel it, okay? You can feel it. But you see, because you feel it, you're still the same old person. And you get depressed. All right? Or whatever you do to get back in fellowship with God, instead of realizing then there, based on the Word of God, you already are holy. You are created in righteousness and true holiness. Are you listening, my friend? Amen. There's something, a term used in Bible theology, which is like the even the writings of the New Testament, where Paul's letters, for example, he uses the indicative many a times before he uses the imperative. What is indicative? Indicative is who you already are. All right? What is imperative? Command. So Paul will say things like, since you are risen with Christ, imagine that. You are on the other side of the grave. Church, you are on the other side of the grave. All right? Death and judgment are behind you. Say, death and judgment are behind me. Now see it. See it. We learn about the imagining of the heart. Amen? Imagination with God is real. Now see it, because you're not trying to see to make it real. You are seeing something that is real. Where's death and judgment? But many of us, where do we see death and judgment? In our imagination, in our heart, in front of us. Where is death and judgment? Behind us. Are you listening, people? And what is in front of you? Grace and glory. Glory, hallelujah! Amen. You are now on the other side of the grave. You are on the other side of the grave. You are not look at death in front of you, you know. I got nowhere to go, you know. My life is now at this juncture. I think the only way to look at, you know, is just the grave, Lord. No. Grave is behind you. Death is behind you. So are you saying, Pastor Prince, that people believe that won't die? No. For us, listen carefully, even the Christian term die, the Bible says the believer falls asleep in Jesus. If the Lord should tarry, you know, when I take communion, I always say, Lord, if you should tarry, all right? If you should tarry, by your stripe, I will live to. There's a certain age that I live, which is very personal between me and the Lord. It's not for you to know. All right? Because if I reach that age, right, you will say, hey, you are on this age. You know, some secrets, and I wish that Samson learned this. Some secrets are not meant to be shared publicly. I don't know why some of you love to share everything on Twitter, on Instagram, you know, and everything about your life. I help yourself. All right? But don't cry when people criticize. Amen. Don't expose your life for the enemy to hit you. Learn to have some root life. Don't just have the branches and the flowers and the fruits for display. In fact, how good those things are, it's how great your root is. And root life is hidden life. If you find yourself feeling empty, it's because you might not have a root life. And that root life is life with Jesus behind closed doors. Spending time in the Word. Just enjoying the Lord, seeing what He wants you to see. Okay, back to this again. There's something called indicative, which is who you are. Since you are this, now do this. Since you are risen with Christ, amen, put to death the manifestation, the deeds of the body, which is fornication, blasphemy, lying, bitterness. Notice that? We say that, do this first. No, God says, realize who you are. Since you are risen with Christ, you can put to death all these things. Don't let these things bully you. Just because the bitterness button is being pushed, all right, you're going to be bitter. No, you are risen. Amen. They are under your feet. Praise the Lord. Amen. Are you listening? For example, we look at a verse like this, right? In Romans chapter 6. Look up here in Romans chapter 6. It says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. They should obey it in its lust. Now, we hear this teaching very often, right? In the Christian life. And we hear it preached. But it's a verse taken out of context. You cannot just say, stop sinning. Don't let sin reign. It's out of context. Why? Because notice the word therefore. Can you see the word therefore do not let? Therefore do not let. That means there's the previous verses telling you something. Therefore do not let. All right, if you've got a problem with watching pornography, or you've got a problem with forgiving people, or you're always bad-tempered, or even depressed, or even, you're always in a state of unbelief, or you're very, very, always doubting, reasoning, second-guessing, your life is miserable. Sin will make you miserable. But how do you overcome sin? Just don't do it, Lord. That's the try-harder mentality. The Bible doesn't teach that way, all right? So I'm going to ask you again, class. Why is the therefore? Why? Okay, one time. Why is the therefore there for? Kenapa? Why is it there? So, see, you can't take the verse out of context, but people understand this verse. Therefore, people usually don't see what God wants them to see. The reality, the way God sees it. Therefore, just give me practical. They love the book of James. They say, James is practical. Miss Paul is not. What do you mean? Paul's letters are not? I don't understand this. Seated with Christ in heavenly places right now. Right now, I'm in Ang Mo Kio. You understand or not? What is this seated with Christ in heavenly places? See, they don't see. Their imagination don't see. So they say that James is practical. James talks about what to do. Give me something to do. Give me something to do. And that's why there are people who love sermons that tell you what to do. Right? Now, are there things to tell you what to do? Yes, the Bible is chock full of it. Amen. But when the Bible teaches you something, it always tells you, because you have received, now... Got it? Sometimes it put the cost in front. Sometimes it put the cost behind. For example, behind is like this. We love. We all want to love. We want to be loving people. Amen? Love our families. Love people around us. As believers, we are called to love. Amen? Love God most of all. But why do we love? We love because. Now the cost is put at the end. Because He first loved us. So which one happened first? You got to experience God's love. You got to know how much God loves you. And then you can love. Your life of loving is an outcome, is an outflow of your life of being loved. When you live loved, amen. Always live life when you wake up in the morning, know that you are someone loved, dearly loved. And you know how God has made you? God has made you holy, blameless, amen. And in other words, He has made you lovable in His sight. You are lovable in His sight. Amen. Not based on your actions. This is something very hard for us to do. But back to this before we go on. Are you all learning so far?
Yeah, man.
Mothers, are you all learning? More than anything else, the devil loves to attack women for some reason. Notice his first attack was towards Eve. Right? He knows that if he can get the woman, women have a greater tendency to want to take things in their own hands to help the family. And especially when a man is not being the head, they take over. You can't blame them. It's in their nature. They want to help the family. Amen? But then, that opens them up to what? More failures. The devil says, all these years, you see? All that you put in. Your kids don't even care about you. Amen, look at that. Your husband takes you for granted. Look at that. The demons say thank you. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. Imagination. Look at that. See in your mind. You are not appreciated. You are this, you are that. So the devil attacks, especially women. Amen? Are you listening? And that's why the disciples were shocked when Jesus looked at the woman at the well and talked to her. Even she herself was shocked. Why is it that you being, you know, a Jew, she make it into a racial thing. You speak to me who am a Samaritan. But also the fact that she is a woman. And the disciples were surprised. They themselves, they are Jewish, and they are surprised that Jesus is talking to the woman. And this woman had five husbands. 一二三四五. Ooh, five husbands. Satu dua tiga. Empat lima. Lima laki-laki tau. Teruk, man. One laki-laki hari. Amen. Imagine five ma-ng-tians used to take care of. One is enough, man. It takes a whole lifetime for a woman. You ask Carol. Amen. Five. That poor woman is suffering. But for the religious mind mentality, she's terrible. How can she then? She's looking for love in all the wrong places. So she had five husbands, and then Jesus told her, the one that you're living with, so she's a sixth man. So she had five husbands, I mean what? All divorced. Right? So the one that you're living with now, that is not married, that you're not married to, the one that you're living with now is not your husband. That means she's living now with a sixth man in adultery. So Jesus did not say, this woman is terrible. I won't talk to her. I'll bypass her. Like the Pharisees, like the Sadducees. No, he took time to talk to her. So the one that you're living with, the sixth one, is not your husband. Then he says, she asks, who is the one? Later on he says, but the Messiah will come, right? She said, and will teach me all things. Jesus says, I who speak unto you, I am he. Seventh man. And her rest is found in the seven men. She's finally fulfilled. That is the living water. That seven men gives you water that will quench you. No one else can give you that kind of water. And her journey came to an end all these years. Amen. She met the seventh man. By the way, if you count that portion of scripture, amen, the Holy Spirit records exactly seven words of Jesus to her. In the entire episode at the well, you count the number of times Jesus spoke to her or answered her question, it's exactly seven. He's the perfect man. Have you met the seventh man? No, Pastor, now there's, you know, no more seven. It's the 70th man already, Jesus. Finally, Jesus came along with 70th man. No, some of you know, Pastor, it's like, you know, but as long as you meet the man, and seven in the Bible is a number of perfection. Number of perfection. Can I have a good amen? Amen. So Jesus would treat men and women, even those who are social outcasts, with respect. He calls them by name. There's a guy, if you talk about social outcast, it is Zacchaeus. Because Zacchaeus collects taxes. He's a tax collector. Collect taxes for a country that Israel at that time was under, the Romans. Amen? So he lives the high life. Amen? And he can collect as much money as he wants, even some extra for himself. So the people of that day hated the tax collectors. When Jesus saw him up on the tree, when Jesus passed by in Jericho, what did Jesus say? Zacchaeus! Don't forget, a crowd was around Jesus. Many of them would love for Jesus to call their name. Wouldn't you? None of them had the honor, except for a person who is a social outcast. Zacchaeus! Come down. I must eat at your house. I must eat at your house. A necessity, just like the woman at the well, the Bible says there's another way of going bypass. Most Jewish people bypass the city of Samaria because they don't like the Samaritans. Right? So they bypass the city of Samaria. The Bible says Jesus must needs go through Samaria. It is not a must of geographical necessity. It is not a must of convenience because they have to eat. Jews don't want to go through Samaria. Jesus must go through. Why? For one. Just for one. He'll do the same for you. He doesn't treat you like a crowd, you know, in a face in a crowd. He treats you, he knows what you're going through, and he loves you. Hey, you don't serve a dead Savior. He's risen. He's alive today. Amen. And he's with you by his Holy Spirit. And one day we'll see him face to face. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you with me so far? Are you learning this? So just to say, don't sin, don't sin, don't sin. No, that's not the language of the Bible. The Bible says, therefore, do not sin. So what is there? Why is the therefore, therefore? Always find out why the therefore is therefore, and you will find the secret for the therefore. Therefore, do not let sin, okay? Don't forget. That's the idea here. But look at the context. Then we come to verse 9. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. How many agree that Jesus, once he's risen from the dead, death is behind him? Death no more has power over him. It's a beautiful sound. Death no longer has dominion. What a beautiful sound. One of the things that cause a lot of tears in this world is death. And Jesus, the shortest verse of the Bible, Jesus wept, was at a funeral. Amen. No, he knew he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. Why did he cry? He cried because he knew that when the Father and him planned for men to live this wonderful life, just enjoying God's blessings, death was never in the agenda. Death was something like a outside thing that came in because of man's sin. Man's sin and wages of sin is death. So remember that death is not part of God's plan. God hates death. God considers death as an enemy. Okay, don't forget that. Okay? So here it says, once Christ is raised from the dead, death no longer has dominion over him. Now watch this. For the death that he died to sin once for all. Hapax in the Greek means once and for all. So when the death that he died to sin. How long did he die to sin? Did Jesus die to sin gradually or once and for all? Once and for all. Is it in the past, folks? All right? When you come to church, remember this. Bring along your brain. Okay? We want to reason as well. Okay? In fact, I want to talk about the two parts of your brain today, if I have time. And it's very interesting. But bring along your understanding part. Amen? The logical part. But that's not how we live life with God. We live... Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. But listen, church. Jesus died to sin once and for all, not gradually. This idea of like we are all dying to sin slowly. Every day we should be dying more and more to sin. It's not in the Bible. The Bible says, watch this now, Jesus died to sin what? Once and for all. There's not going to be a future repeat. Okay? Now, you're talking about Jesus, Pastor? Yeah, he's talking about Jesus, I agree. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives, he lives to God. So death is behind him. Now he lives his life to God. Look at verse 11. Likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Likewise, the way Jesus died to sin, how did he die to sin? Gradually? No. Once and for all. Done deal. Amen. Likewise, you yourself reckon. The word reckon is an accounting term to say, as the facts are, all right, esteem it, account it according to the facts. For example, if you have $1,000 in the bank, you must esteem, reckon you have $1,000 in the bank. Now, you're reckoning that you have $1,000 in the bank. Don't put $1,000 in the bank. Let's say it's zero. I reckon I have 1,000. Then, boom, 1,000 happens. A lot of people think faith is like that. No, faith is not seeing what you have, but God says you have it. Amen? Then you agree with God. You reckon that God, whatever God says that you have. That's reckon. It's based on facts, spiritual facts, realities. It's based on the truth. Amen? God says, likewise, reckon yourself, account yourself, esteem yourself, like Jesus. Likewise means what? In the same manner. Like your gym instructor will say, okay, watch this now. Watch this, okay? Now, when you carry your weight, right? Notice I use my back muscle. I don't use my arm muscle. I use my back. Have you noticed? Now, go look at my muscle at the back. Amen? All right? Now, likewise. What's he telling you? Likewise. In the same way. Exactly the same way. So what in the same way? In the same way, Jesus died to sin once and for all. And the life he lived to God. Amen. He's not looking to die to sin anymore. Pastor Prince, if that is so, that I still feel angry. I still feel frustrated. Well, it's just feelings. Nothing more than feelings. I know you're trying to forget all feelings of anger, rage, feeling. Oh, feelings. Hey, can you sing this song and not get depressed? I'd rather sing 10,000 reasons to praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. No wonder you sing songs like this. Why does the sun... I know it's an old song, I know. Go on shining. Chill out, man. As far as the person is concerned, it's not based on reality. She's reckoning all wrong. The sun is still shining. Even if you don't see the sun shine outside, it's a rainy day, the sun is still shining behind the clouds. Amen. So God is saying, all right, reckon based on spiritual reality. So Christ died to sin. So what happened is that when you feel the temptation, when you feel it, you're saying it's a lie. This is not real. This is not who I am. I'm not defined by this. Amen. Amen. I am a new creation. Amen. Created in righteousness and true holiness. So God says, the likewise, reckon yourself dead indeed to sin, the way Jesus died to sin once and for all. You should reckon yourself dead to sin once and for all. And the life that you live unto God. Therefore, do not let. Likewise, reckon yourself dead once and for all. Therefore, do not let. You know what I'm saying? If you really esteem that you have become, you will not let. Amen. You see, when you say I don't let, right, my dog go too far, who has the power? The dog or the Aziza Milan? You must be the alpha male. You must be the one handling the dog, not let the dog handle you. Are you listening? Many years ago, I stopped when I just got my car. You know, I was stopped on the highway, and the policeman was a very nice man. He even taught me how to drive. He looked at me, looked at my license, you know, and all that, and he says, he said this to me. I'll never forget until now. How many years ago was that? No, Pastor, that was last week. No, it was many years ago. It was many years ago. You know what he said to me? Don't let your car control you. Control your car. And he gave me back and he walked away. He gave me a chance. Of course, I was speeding now. And I passed by him. He took over. And this is what he said. I'll never forget it. Don't let your car control you. Until now, I still remember, don't let my car control me. Control your car. Are you listening? You know what's meekness? People think of meekness as, oh, people run, walk all over you and they bully you, you say nothing. Meekness, like, you know, you're a bit hunched. All right? You walk down like that. You're afraid of people. That's a person who is meek. M-E-E-K, meek. But the Bible meekness is different. Bible meekness is strength under control. You can hit back, but you don't hit back. You are the greater one. Amen. People push your buttons, doesn't work. Because you are in control. It's your meek, strength under control. Amen. Yeah, we got all kinds of ideas in church, you know. Years ago, when I was in my previous church as a teenager, I remember my friend said, oh, there's a speaker, an elderly man, said, this speaker is very humble. I said, yeah, you watch. I've listened to him preach before. See the way he walks, okay? And then he went up to pulpit. Now, I'm not saying he's not humble, all right? I'm just saying about the walk. He came up the pulpit like this. Now, what is that about humility? It's his personality. He wants to bend down. My concern, you bend down, you don't maintain a good posture, one day you find it's hard to be straightening up. All right? I find Jesus healing people who are bent down. He never said, "Hey, Mark, bend down a bit. You are very proud, no?" Huh? He never says that, right, Mark? He never says, "Mark, bend down a bit," right? No. He always raises people up. So I'm just saying, you can't judge based on looking at someone like that. So I look at, so that's how, I said to my friend, that's being humble. You know? So in front of him, I never walked straight again. When he talked to me, I said, that's humble. Okay, watch another scenario. Okay? Watch another scenario. David, right? And Goliath. And Goliath, very hard for me to impersonate Goliath. Mark, come. Right, no. Today I'll give your body to the fowls of the air. And David says, "You come to me with a spear and a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today all the earth shall know that there is an Elohim in Israel, a God in Israel." Hallelujah. Now, stop the picture and take a look at this guy. This boy is about 17. Goliath, wow, man of, you know. Some of you are going on to say, "Uncle, ah." "Taka." "Hey, brother." You will try your best to, you know, you use nice terms. David didn't even use a nice term. He says, "Today, God will deliver you into my hand." In fact, he says, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" That's language. Very intimate language. Uncircumcised Philistine. Strong, tough talk. Right? But you know something? God was with David. So for us, this is not humility. This is pride. But no. In God's eyes, it's boldness. And boldness is predicated on faith in God. Amen. It's because you have faith in God, you are bold. Don't think for one moment that sometimes the appearance and all that, it can be flesh. Like some people, you know, Pastor Prince, look at this lady, right? She's so holy. Holy is based on what? Look at her. She has a sangol, she has a bun, right? She doesn't make up much. You can see that she's holy. So she's holier than a lady who has makeup, yeah. I happen to know the lady, huh? I'm the pastor. I happen to know the lady. She got a lot of problems with people. All right? She looks like no makeup. All right? That the sango is very tight, right? You know, she blinks, the whole thing shakes. That's how tight it is. All right? But she can sit in the living room and lick a spoon in the kitchen. That's how long her tongue is, you know. The things that she say about people, everybody is, everyone who goes to church is a hypocrite. You ever hear that? Everyone who goes to church is a hypocrite. Aya, you come also la. One more won't make a difference. So we go by appearance. Oh, he must be proud. Have you ever considered the fact that you dressed up because you are meeting the president? You're meeting the queen? You dressed up because you respect her? You respect the occasion? Yeah, there are people who go crazy and they dressed up just to flaunt and to show off and all that. I'm talking about honoring the occasion. I think, honestly, this is not important, okay? But I think it should reflect our Sunday's best. Because we are going to the house of the Lord. Amen? I know the house is not building, it's us coming, but still the house of the Lord. We're all coming together. Amen. Are you listening, people? I mean, it's, I don't know why I'm saying this, but it's important, okay? All right? Therefore, notice the indicative comes before the imperative. The who you are in Christ, dead to sin once and for all, alive to God, in a new creation, that is what helps you, the becoming happens before the acting. Are you listening? You know why you try harder? Do you try hard to speak your mother tongue? Okay, y'all don't want to talk to me? I won't talk to you. Let's see who wins. Oh, Pastor, that's your flesh. Yeah. So, talk to me. Answer. Mark, answer. Huh? Easy. Mark's language, you know, just fluent. In fact, he tells me English, he has problem. Amen? Now, I have problems speaking Chinese. What he finds so easy is hard. What I find easy, amen, is hard for him. Your mother tongue, you just flow, right? Are you listening? So the idea, if anyone tells you, try harder, they'll say, oh, Pastor Prince teaches, like, you know, people can be passive and, enjoy, you know, God will do everything. You know, if they want to label like that, you know, they can label anything you want to label. All right, just calling a dog, all right, a cat doesn't make it a cat. It's still a dog. Woof. You know what I'm saying? All right, you can label it what you want. Amen. So, if you hear try harder, that means you are not there. It's not you. So try harder to become what you are not. So actually the problem is that the more we let go, the more we rest and relax, the more who we are in Christ will come forth. Amen. So the message of rest, actually rest, because the devil say, you're not holy. See, you're not loving, right? You have that bitterness, right? You have that anger just now when the lady spoke and all that. You had the bitterness towards her. You had the jealousy in your heart towards her and all that. See, you're still the same person. Amen? What you need to do instead of, oh no, I try to suppress this feeling. I try to avoid this feeling. You have lost before you began. Because you're acting based on a lie. And the lie came from the enemy. But you feel it. You feel it. You feel it doesn't mean it's truth. Most feelings come and go. Learn to handle your feelings, even bad feelings, depression, you know, negative feelings, anger and all that, like you are on a tour bus. All right? When you're on a tour bus, you look at all the scenery. Some scenery are beautiful. Oh, look at that. Those are like feeling good. Enjoy it, feel good. But you know what? Very soon the feel good passes by and you see an area where it looks horrible. People have abused the plants down there. They have abused the forest there. It's burned down. You see the abuse and you feel angry. All right? And then you pass by that scene to another more beautiful scene again. You see, your feelings come and go. See your feelings like fleeting things. You may experience it, but it is not you. So right now, the devil says, you feel depressed. Therefore, you are depressed. Throw it back at him. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm a new creation in Christ. Amen. I'm not depressed. I feel depression at times, but I'm not depressed. You're going to lose your mind. No, I have the mind of Christ. That's why we need to know the word. We need to study and renew our mind. That's what the Bible says in Ephesians 4. That you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Notice he's telling you, put off, and this is past tense, that you put off, past tense, aorist tense, concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Now, he's not saying you have an old man now, put him off. No. Read carefully. You have put off. In Colossians, it says like this, seeing that you have put off the old man. Amen? In Colossians, it says, seeing that you have put off the old man. So, what you're putting off is your former conduct. So, it's like this, the former conduct. You know, you go on a, have you ever been on a cruise? On a ship? 2 years, Pastor. 2 years. All right. Imagine, okay. If how many have experienced this? You after some time on the cruise somewhere, okay. You are about 3 hours. Even 3 hours is enough, or 2 hours on that cruise. You come back on land. Now it's solid land. Am I right? The truth is, it's solid land. But your feelings, you still feel the sensation of being on the boat, on that cruise, right? On that cruise ship. You feel like going up and down. You feel like even plane sometimes, if it's bumpy, right? After you step in the airport, right? You're now on solid ground. Terracotta, solid, firm, firm. You know, and terra firma. You are on solid ground, but you still feel that sensation. For how long? Quite some time, right? You don't want to talk to me? Did I offend you? I talked for so long, y'all don't want to talk to me? Why? Do y'all feel that or not? I'm the only one. I'm the only one. Something wrong with you, Pastor. You must reckon you are on solid ground. I feel this way. I'm depressed. Oh no, I feel this way. It could be that, is there a symptom in my body? Is it a sign of something more sinister happening in my body that I'm feeling dizzy? I'm feeling this. No. You are just experiencing the former conduct, the former emotions, the former sensations of a past experience. Sometimes past experiences are so real that even though it has passed, at that time it was very traumatic for us. Even when we were small. Now we are 50, 47, but things happen when you were 5 years old. There are guys who are afraid of bugs, and many of them are afraid of lizard or whatever. And they're macho men, no? All right? And don't look at me, I'm one of them. If there's a lizard somewhere, all right? I know those guys are friends. All right, they destroy all the insects that would, you know, or mosquitoes and all that. More lizard, maybe less dengue, huh? All right? But for some reason, when I see a lizard, right, even small ones, I mean, I'm telling you, there's one time I was studying, I was reading, and all of a sudden I felt a sensation on my leg. So I thought it was just my you know, I got hairy leg, you know? So I thought, I was scratching it, and all of a sudden there's this small lizard crawling on my leg. I jump on the sofa. You know, I make the sign of the cross. I did all kinds of things. And I bind it in Jesus' name. And who do you call? When the lizards come crawling around, who do you call? Darling! And the first one that comes running will be Justin. He always knows he's in for an action. And does he help? No, he's one corner laughing. Go, call mama. Go, call mama. One day I sat down and asked myself, why am I, I'm bigger than that. That thing is so small. Because I heard when I was 5 years old, I don't know how true is it, that when you're sleeping at night, I think my mother or the cousin, when I was young, told me that these things, right, they'll shed their tail and the tail will come finding you. And the tail will go into your ear. The image is so real, the imaginations of the thoughts of my heart. At a young age, be careful what you program down there. And now, I am 35 years old, and I'm still afraid of a stupid lizard. All of a sudden, you forget Jesus. You forget, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of lizards, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. You forget all that, no? And what is so true of many years ago is still there. Why? In the imagination, it was put into your heart. Is it based on facts? Is it based on truth? Now, no. But you can just, that's why, imaginations replicate reality. That's what the power of imagination. It replicates reality. Your imagination represent those events to you now. Where do you see them? In your imagination. Right? Now, think of the word represent. They represent today. The word represent is made of two words. Re means repeat. Present. Make it present again. Make it present again. So the devil wants to activate your imagination. Now, fear of these things and all that, I mean, you know, we all can like laugh about it, but there are even degrees of fear that has crippled people emotionally. Their life, they're not willing to get married because of certain fears that they had, trauma when they were a child, many years ago. And that's why when you change the imagination, you change, you replace it with God's word. God's word pictures. You change the heart. Amen? So the key is this, how to put off this one. The Bible says that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed, where? In the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man which was created according to God. Now, this new man is created according to God in what? In true righteousness and holiness. You see, folks, put off is done deal. Finish read. It doesn't say you are to put. A lot of people turn it around and say, you see, you must put off, you must put off, you must put off. It's always this word, you must, you ought, you should. Watch out for that. That's a try-harder Christianity. No, it's all by grace, people. Amen. We already are what we are by grace. Amen. Now God is saying, walk it out. Walk out the fact that you are a prince, you are a princess, you're living the high life. Amen. Praise God. You know, princess and princesses, right, in the original form, does not look at people that criticize them, you know, and seriously start scolding them and all that, because it's beneath you to do that. You're bigger than that. In fact, when you focus on people who criticize you, you are giving them a leg up. You're giving them a platform. You're giving them attention. And what you give attention to, you give power to. I know it's hard, especially on the road. People are trying their best, be it motivated by the devil or not. People are trying their best to change your, trying to control your action. Don't give them the remote. Don't allow them to. Say that I'm in charge. Jesus says, you know what it means when Jesus says, turn the other cheek? Have you read before? Jesus saying, be the actor, not the reactor. Read carefully. It does not say Christianity. I'm not Christianity. You know, it's like so like mistletoes, you know, people slap you, you turn the other cheek. Read carefully. It doesn't say that. It says, if anyone smite you on the right cheek. Why the right cheek? Why the right cheek? Mark, come up here. Don't worry, I won't slap you. You slap me? No, I slap you one. Amen? Okay, come to the stage. Now watch this, okay? Mark is gonna... I'm gonna slap Mark. Okay? It is time lapse. Okay, slow-mo. Watch this. Jesus says, if you slap someone, if anyone slap you on the right cheek, you look at that in the Sermon on the Mount. Look carefully. Many people read it. If someone slap you on the cheek, doesn't say that. Slap you on the right cheek. Now, most people are right-hander. Most people. Normal people. Okay. Most people are. Like, it's a fact. Okay? And even in those days. So watch this. If I slap Mark, which cheek? Left. So to slap him on the right cheek, you know what you do? Use the back of your hand. Okay, in those days, this is a challenge. Later on, in Britain, across Britain, you take a glove. You don't use your hand anymore. You use your glove and you do this. That's a challenge to a duel, the pistol. So when someone does this, it's a challenge. Someone horn behind you. All right, press the horn for no reason. At least you feel no reason. We always think it's no reason, man. And whatever the reason is, right? They're trying to press, they're challenging you. React angry because I'm angry with you. And the only way I can control you is this way. All right? And then when they pass by you. Amen? Amen? Start acting. Don't react. Jesus says, bless them that curse you. So he's teaching us, this is a challenge to a duel. Do not respond to the challenge. Turn the other cheek. So I do this, I challenge you, you turn the other cheek. No, I already slapped here already. So I slapped here, right? You're turning the same cheek. Okay, we'll try again. A Okay, slap. Turn the other cheek. Yeah. You see, when you turn the other cheek, also you turn the other cheek, right? Who is in control now? All right? You are in control. I want you to feel angry. I want you to be challenged, right? But then you're saying, no, I decide. Okay? I'm challenging you. Now, here's where the power of God is released. And most people will not slap you because there was a guy who just got saved. He was a boxer. All right? It's a well-known story. He was a boxer. He just got saved. He didn't learn about the Bible much yet. And what happened is that, you know, someone came to him, a non-Christian, and said, I understand that you're a Christian now, you know, from his circle and all that. And he said that, you know, the Bible says if I slap you on the cheek, you have to turn the other cheek. And pow, he slapped him. People do slap people, no? Nowadays. And it goes viral. So he slapped him, you know. I hear a Christian, he slapped him. You know what the guy did? He turned the other cheek. He just knew, right? He doesn't know about all what I'm sharing. He turned the other cheek. You know what the guy did? The guy slapped him again on the other cheek. And then after that, he looked at the guy again and the guy says, aren't you going to react? And the guy slapped him again. Next thing you know, this guy who slapped him was sprawled across the ground with one loose tooth or whatever. All right? As he looked at the guy on the ground, bleeding from his mouth, he said that the Bible doesn't say what happens after that. Yeah, thank you. So it's talking about personal reaction. Talking about personal reaction. Are you listening? Are you with me so far? So, what you do doesn't make you what you are. It is who you are that makes you. And the Bible says you are created in this new man that you have is created in what? According to God, in true righteousness and holiness. Not this fake righteousness. It's true holiness and righteousness. People, listen. You are truly righteous and holy. Now, your actions might not be holy. Depending on when I find you, early in the morning, you just wake up, might not be very holy. All right? It all depends. When you catch people sometimes. The actions can line up. But if you know who you are holy, but sometimes your actions are unholy, you can line it up. Amen. Praise the Lord. You are not unholy. You're a new creation in Christ. Are you listening, people? You learn something. I'm bringing this to a close. Is this helping you? Do you understand what I'm saying so far? Now, it can be a seeing on the inside. You must see it on the inside. Okay, it got to be seen on the inside. Don't forget what I said to you, that the heart, the first mention of the heart in the Bible, every time the Bible mentions something for the first time, the law of first mention, and the first time heart is mentioned, imagination goes with the heart. All right, we showed you that last week. Look at Genesis 6, right? It says, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So this is the first mention of the word heart. First mention of the word heart. Are you with me so far? All right? And what does it tell you? Imagination. So what the devil wants to do is to bombard your imagination with unclean pictures, amen, with fearful pictures, with evil pictures. And you know what you're doing, people? Every day now, ever since with the advent of smartphones and social media and all that, we are actually being bombarded every day. It says evil continually. Most of the images you have, right, it's not based on God's word. It's not positive. It's not. Bible says whatever things are true, pure, holy, if there's any virtue, any praise, think on these things. But we are thinking of things, you know, that is not holy, not pure. Doesn't give you peace. It makes you restless. And then later on you find, why do I have problems sleeping? Why do I feel depressed? Why do I feel blah? You're spending so much time looking at other people's lives. You're comparing and comparing, looking at their best pictures that they post. Amen. With makeup and whatnot. Amen. It's all been tampered with. And you are looking at other people's lives. And the more you look at other people's lives, the more depressed you become. We are one of the most depressed people in this generation than any other generation put together. And yet we have everything at our fingertips. Watch what you see. Is that your heart? You know where God speaks to you? In your heart. Jesus says the Father, the Son can do nothing except what he sees the Father do. He explained that just after he healed the pool of Bethesda, the impotent man who's been there for 38 years. Jesus healed him, but there are many other sick people. Why didn't he heal the rest? He gave the reason. The Son can do nothing of himself. That means my own initiative. I cannot do anything by my own initiative, but what I see the Father do. He's always the obedient Son. You ask me why? The reason is not given. If God wants to heal that man, make him evangelist or whatever, I do not know, right? But Jesus saw the Father healing and Jesus moved with that. Are you listening, people? In the ancient time, God speaks to people, right? We call them prophets. They hear God clothed better, more accurately than any other person in Israel. Am I right? Today, we all have a prophetic ministry. Once upon a time, there's only one king in Jerusalem. And then there are many priests, but not all are priests. Today, we are all kings and priests. Jesus has made us kings and priests. We should expect that anointing. What's the anointing of the king? Whatever you speak happens. The people of the world, your colleagues, your friends, your classmates and all that, you know, when they speak, nothing happens. But when you watch what you say, the devil is after your words. He wants you to use your words against yourself. Oh, die la. No one say, leave la. Die la. I'm dying for this, I'm dying for that. You know, he has programmed death into your language. Oh, old. I'm getting old. You know, he's programmed that. Because he knows that he has no power. The power of life and death is in your tongue. It's not in his. Listen, it's not what people say about you. They can say all kinds of things about you. But don't you ever speak against you. You cannot stop them from speaking. The only one you have control of is your own. Watch what you say. So in those days, right, they have prophets. Today, we all have prophetic ministry. We are prophet, priest, kings. Having the anointing of all these three offices. Back then, you want to go to the king, certain location. You want to hear a prophet. By the way, the prophet in those days, watch this, 1 Samuel 9:9. From formerly in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, he spoke like this. Come, let us go to the, shout. The what? For he who is now called a prophet was formerly called a seer. How does God speak back then? Show the prophet pictures. Do you see that? By the way, this is in reference to Prophet Samuel. So how does God speak to us? Because we are not all prophets. But we have a prophetic anointing, all of us. We have a kingly anointing. We have a priestly anointing. It's all of us. There's no such thing as clergy, laity. We are all kings and priests when it comes to worshiping God. Can I have a good amen? Are you with me so far? My time is flying. I'm not going to bind it anymore. I learned to accept. Amen? Because the clock is an inanimate object. It cannot make me angry. You know? I tell you, make me angry, you know? This person make me angry. You know? No one can make you angry. If they can, I'll close with this, okay? If they can make you angry, by the way, I'm just starting a new series. Have you noticed that? The Seer on how to hear God. On how to hear God. I think we'll continue this because I got a lot of teaching I prepared actually. Amen. And we'll continue. But listen, no one can make you angry. Let's say someone speaks bad about you, all right? You don't know about it. All of a sudden, you're walking, you know, you are in a shopping center and you are, you know, just window shopping, just looking around. I felt hurt. And you're walking, you pass the mark. Pastor Mark, I felt hurt. My feelings are wounded. Pastor Mark said, what's wrong? Somebody, somewhere spoke bad about me. Does that happen? No. You must know what they say. In order for you to be heard, you must know what they say. You either read their comments or what they write to you or you get... You must know what they say, all right? To be heard. Who is the one actually making you hurt? If the person can make you hurt, even though you do not know it, they're talking. All of a sudden they say, you know what, this person, I feel it. Someone just made me angry. With their words. No, it doesn't happen like that. They cannot make you. You make yourself. It's a bitter pill to swallow, but today we are owning up to who we are in Christ. So you know something? Don't read negative comments. Don't fill your heart with negative. We're all negative based on the old nature. Our propensity now is a bit negative. We are learning to renew our minds, to think positive. Amen? When I say positive, the Bible says a helmet of the hope of salvation, a positive expectation of good. Pastor, you know a recession is coming. Let's talk about God's provision. God's grace always exceeds sin. Therefore, His supply will always exceed the sin. Amen. The shortage. Whether it's recession coming or not, my God is El Shaddai. Amen. He's not El Cheapo. All right, He's El Shaddai. Amen. He's more than sufficient. Amen. God didn't say, oh my goodness, Gabriel, you saw that recession coming or not? No one told me, you know. Michael, what have you been doing? No one told me that recession is coming. All right, so if it happens, recession is around the corner, let's say, you know, and it's coming fast and furious, you know something? God provide for you. Don't complain. Don't blame this and blame that and all that. It doesn't work. You know that it only makes you miserable. Have a greater faith. Rise higher and say, we're going to see my God do miracles. He always does that in famine. I'm going to see that happen in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We got so much more to share. Amen. But right now, I want you to say this. I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. Regardless of how I feel, who I am is who I am. My feelings, my wrong actions do not define me. God's word defines me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. When I feel angry, I'm still the righteousness of God in Christ. And that anger comes under my feet. I'm a brand new creation. From now on, in Jesus' name, I'll think a new way. I'll be renewed in the spirit of my mind. I'll watch my eye gate and I'll watch my ear gate and open them only to things that are wholesome, healthy, of virtue, and of praise. In Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen, amen. Amen. Guard your heart. Guard your eyes. Amen. I wish I can tell you much more. The world today is full of negativism, you know. You need to know the news, just read the headlines, okay? The rest is all just taking your time, okay? Amen? And just don't spend too much time with junk. Everything, who is attacking who is this, and the death count, you know, of the pandemic around the world, or this and that. Just know the headlines enough, and then put your mind on things that are wholesome. Where do you find them? Images and all that. These word pictures. God's word. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed all across this place. Friend, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There is someone, you've just been diagnosed with, I think it's your intestine. Something has gone wrong and it showed up recently. And now I see you filled with fear. Amen. But the Lord has singled you out. You know what it means? You're up for your healing. Amen. In the name of Jesus, I command that condition to be healed, and I command your body to be restored to health in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now go back to the doctor, right, and see what the Lord has done in your body. And once you get a good report, all right, confirmed by the medical report, just let us know. Send it to us and let us know. I believe God has done something. In order for Him to single it out, God has done something. Now stop, pause, and then let me tell you this how I saw. I saw a picture. Okay, I was about to close, then I saw a picture. So that means God is, that's how I do it. It's been my life for so many years now. The word, the gifts of the Spirit also manifest as pictures. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And when I mentioned about people taking their life, it's not that someone is about to take his life, but you are contemplating on taking your life and what it's like. And in the name of Jesus, I bind that darkness over your head. Amen. In the name of Jesus, and I bind all that depression from off you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I command the devil to loose you and let you go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let the light of the glorious gospel of hope, the glorious gospel of grace shine into your heart and mind. The good news, you are loved. You are loved. And God is watching over you. And you're not going to the valley. You're not going to the difficulty. You're not going to this lack alone. I know you feel as if you must provide for your entire family. You need to provide for everyone around you. And they might not know it. They might not appreciate you. But God sees it. And God is the one you lean on. And God is more than able to provide in Jesus' name. Never let go of your life. It's a precious gift. And you are loved in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you've never made Jesus your personal Savior and Lord, I'd like to pray with you right now. If that is you, wherever you are right now, just say this prayer from your heart. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you. Your word says, if I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and believe in my heart that you have raised him from the dead, I'll be saved. Father, Jesus Christ is my Lord. And I thank you. He's risen. Death no longer has power over him. And what happened to him happened to me. Death is now behind me. I am in Christ with a new self, a new identity. I'm a brand new creation in Christ. All things passed away. All things become new. Jesus Christ is my Lord. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand to your feet, church. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. I'm looking at the time. And someone with liver trouble, real quick, you've been diagnosed with liver. In fact, you went to the doctor a few days ago. All right? I see your liver cleared. It's like a hand just peeled off. I don't know what it is. There's a peel that is being peeled off your liver. Amen. You are healed in Jesus' name. Lift up your hands to the Father. This is what we call the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. He talks to you. The Holy Spirit talks to you. We'll share more in the weeks to come. Father in heaven, I thank you for your people, Lord, your precious people and everyone that's tuning in online. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask, Lord, let your grace, the favor of our Lord Jesus Christ, be with each and every one of them throughout this week, Lord. Experiencing your favor everywhere they go, knowing that they are favored by God Himself. They are God's favorite. Expecting good things to come out from that favor with God. Amen. That you grant them favor with men as well throughout this week. And Father, let the love of God be something they experience, not just something, Lord, in printed form, but something that they will experience. Give them a special experience of your love throughout this week, they and their families. And then the friendship, the communion, Lord, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit. Be with every one of them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Be with every one of you in the name of Jesus. Be sensitive to the word pictures that the Holy Spirit gives you. Amen. And act on it, and you'll see miracles happen. You'll see miracles happen. Whatever He says to you, do it, and the water will turn to wine. In Jesus' name, and all the people said, amen. God bless you all. We'll see you again. Bye-bye. My dear friends, today I want to share with you something that is on my heart. The Lord has been speaking to me and He has placed in me a strong desire to see the gospel of grace go out stronger, louder, and faster than ever before. As such, my team and I are taking a big step of faith to change the way we have been publishing my sermons, books, and teaching resources. To begin with, I'll be making my latest sermons freely available on YouTube. I will also be making some of my books like Destined to Reign and Healing Scriptures completely free for those who request for it. Our Hazon vision is to find sustainable ways to make more and more of my books and teaching resources free for people who need it. If you'd like to join me in fulfilling this great call to see many precious lives gloriously transform across the globe, I would like to invite you to sign up for one of our subscription plans at gospelpartner.com. As you can imagine, this is not just a regular subscription plan. In addition to having access to more than 1,000 sermons in the Joseph Prince app, you'll be making a direct impact on advancing the gospel of grace. Your subscription will help us reach more and more people with free teaching resources, books, and sermons translated into multiple languages. I would greatly appreciate all of your prayers and partnership as we make this bold move to see the gospel of grace advance with greater acceleration in these last days. I'm really excited for the future, and I just want to share with you this portion of scripture from Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy, for you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. To find out more, visit gospelpartner.com. I can't wait for you to redeem your one-month free subscription and begin accessing over 1,000 sermons. Thank you for your partnership, and God bless you.
I've tasted and I have seen, this world is not what I need, your presence over anything. So I turn from my fears to your loving arms. It's your voice I wanna hear, you're where I belong. One thing is needed, just to sit at your feet, to hear you speak. One thing is needed, just to sit at your feet, to rest and receive. When I see that I'm not enough, it's in your voice that I trust, you're always calling out to me. Right now I give you my life, speak to my heart, it's your time, your word is healing my mind. So I cast all my cares to your love.
I hope you've enjoyed today's episode. If your life has been touched by the gospel of grace, please share your testimony with us in the comments below. Once again, thanks for tuning in today, and I would appreciate it if you would share this sermon with someone who needs to hear it today. God bless you, and see you in the next episode.